Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Stephen Bronis, who's a shareholder of Carlton Fields down in Miami, to talk about the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the largest case in U.S. history, in which Stephen and his firm represented the client involved. And so with the FCPA continuing to dominate headlines, I think for a second or third year, it made sense to spend some time on this case. So what is the case, and what's the background of the case, Stephen?
Yeah, the case is, as you said, the largest Foreign Corrupt Practices Act case in the 25-year history of the Act. The government began the case several years ago when they arrested a gentleman named Richard Bistrong, who they turned into an informant. Bistrong had been a high-level executive involved in selling military and law enforcement products, and got caught up trying to corruptly influence United Nations peacekeeping forces that were buying his products. He turned informant, and the government began a intensive 9-month sting operation using Bistrong from April of 2009 through January of 2010. In addition to Bistrong, the government had three undercover FBI agents posing as representatives of the Ministry of Defense of the African country of Gabon. And they pretended to need to purchase $13 million worth of products for the Presidential Guard of Gabon. They had in excess of 20 to 30 agents of the FBI working the case, and additional agents were assigned at the time of the arrests and searches. Throughout the case, the sting operation, the government used surreptitious audio and video recordings. They recorded telephone calls and meetings at hotels, restaurants, and businesses in Miami, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, and other cities around the United States. At the end of their sting operation, they arrested 22 individuals representing 16 different companies. Our client, Mr. Giordanella, was the CEO of a company, Protective Products International, which is a publicly held company that sells body protection equipment to law enforcement and the military. The case was prosecuted in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia by Justice Department Fraud Division prosecutors and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia. The indictment alleged a conspiracy to violate the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, substantive violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, conspiracy to commit money laundering and forfeiture. The government divided the 22 defendants into groups for trial, four trial groups. Ours was the second group to go to trial. The first trial group went to trial last spring and ended in a hung jury, and the court declared a mistrial. Our client's trial lasted 4 months when last month the court directed a verdict of not guilty for Mr. Giordanella at the end of the prosecution's case. Yesterday, the jury returned verdicts of not guilty for two of the five remaining defendants on trial in our group. And as of this moment, the jury is still deliberating and have been unable to reach a verdict as to the remaining three defendants.
4 month trial, that's reminds me why I didn't get into litigation. I don't think I have the stamina for that.
So, yeah, you've been a prisoner of war mentality.
So can you talk a little bit more about the court's findings and how it might be applicable to other FCPA cases out there?
Sure. Our client was charged with the conspiracy to violate the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The court dismissed the money laundering count pretrial, finding that there would be insufficient evidence that the money that was wired to the various companies in payment for the items to be sold and the commission payments sent by the companies to the agent handling the transaction, that there was insufficient evidence that those transactions were separate or distinct from the alleged Foreign Corrupt Practices Act violation, and therefore there was insufficient evidence of money laundering. The court then found at the end of the government's case that the government presented insufficient evidence to prove what they charged as one big conspiracy between and among the 22 defendants and 16 companies. What the court said was, at best, the evidence showed that each individual agreed to sell his own company's products and that there was no interdependence or common goal shown between and among the 22 defendants and their 16 companies, and therefore there was insufficient evidence of this one overarching conspiracy. And I think that obviously one of the lessons to be learned is the government has a tendency, as they demonstrated in this case, to try to make this giant splash by suggesting that this was a nationwide conspiracy among 22 individuals and 16 entities, and decided to get a big bang for their buck with a lot of publicity. And when put to the task, the evidence simply didn't demonstrate that.
So what are the lessons learned for other executives that have to be careful?
Sure. As you said, the Justice Department is undaunted. They will continue and have said they'll continue to enforce the FCPA and they use investigative tactics like the one in the Gabon sting case. So, first and foremost, obviously, it's critical for companies that are subject to the Act to have a specific FCPA compliance program in place. And that program should regularly provide FCPA-specific training for management and employees. The program that's in place should ensure that the folks that are in charge of compliance have expertise in the FCPA and utilize, when needed, the assistance of outside counsel with FCPA expertise. There should be periodic auditing of transactions and accounting procedures to make sure the company is regularly complying with its program. The company should encourage an atmosphere of fostering open and full disclosure of all the specifics of business opportunities. And most importantly, the program should involve looking out for what are called red flags in these kinds of situations. And by red flags, I mean deals that involve unusual payment patterns or financial arrangements, dealing with a government or country that has a history of corruption, any refusal by your business partner or agent to provide an FCPA certification that they are complying with the FCP, paying any kind of unusually high commission, any commission that's paid for services that don't seem to be in line with what's being charged, and whether or not there's a recommendation suggested by the business partner or agent, selling agent, that they've been recommended to do the deal by some high-level foreign government official. Those are typical red flags that the compliance program ought to be able to detect and to be on the lookout for.
Great. This has been really useful. It's just scary every time I see a new headline with the FCPA. It just continues to be more and more scary. So thanks, Stephen, for your expertise, and congratulations on your big win.
Thank you.